Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Donna Wharton. Donna, before the break, you talked about this book as being about various women who had been dancers and had thwarted careers and things, but it's also somewhat of a coming-of-age novel. Your protagonist leaves home and starts to engage with the wider world. So what are some of the experiences that help Isadora grow up?
Yes, Isadora has lived at home all her life. She has gotten an education, a good education. She has a master's degree. But she did all of this while under the shelter of her parents. So coming to Oxford on her own is her first experience of being an independent woman. So she does encounter many experiences that do challenge her in that way.
Yeah, like they do with many young people.
Yes, yes. And in many ways, some people nowadays seem to take a bit longer to grow up because they are so sheltered. And we are able to live into our 20s without having been independent. So it is a new experience for her.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there any connection between this novel and your previous work?
Yes, definitely. I've often written about dance because I have had those two forms of creative expression, dance and writing. In my short story collection, there actually is a short story called Anyone Can Dance. And there's also another short story in that collection called The Music Garden, which is set at that lovely place on in the harborfront in Toronto. I've even written poetry about dance.
Yes, I remember hearing you read a poem about dance at the Rivoli in Toronto once.
Yes, because that's in the first anthology of Hill Spirits.
Right. Now, you've chosen to publish Isadora and Lucia as an e-book. So why did you make this decision?
I made that decision because it is less expensive to publish an e-book than it is a printed book. And it is available worldwide. It's easily distributed worldwide. And I do have contacts and many members of MMM all around the world who are interested in the book. So I'm hoping, well, actually it has been picked up in many countries. And if it is attractive to a book publisher, which I hope at some point it will be, it is easy to edit an e-book. And sometimes editors want things changed.
So what are some of the countries that it's been picked up?
Well, the U.S., Canada, the U.S., the U.K. We have dance groups all over the world, Australia, in Japan, although I don't think anybody in Japan has bought it yet because it hasn't been translated.
And have you had any feedback yet?
No, I haven't. It's only been up a couple of weeks, but I hope somebody, one of the readers, will put a response on the Amazon site. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they will. Perhaps you could read us a little bit more from Isadora and Lucia.
Okay, I'll read a section that happens later when Isadora does go to Helen's studio for her first class with the drama students who were at the piano recital. Helen's studio was an open space encompassing the entire floor. Against a far corner was an iron bed. Opposite the lift door was a galley kitchen with appliances of gleaming stainless steel. The floor-to-ceiling windows at the front provided the only natural light. A bank of mirrors were fastened to the exposed brick wall. The wooden floor was refurbished and polished. A group of freestanding mirrors separated the studio space from the living quarters. When I stood in front of these mirrors, I found my image was distorted, as if I was in a house of horrors at an exhibition. Helen introduced me to the other members of the class and asked if I like a mat for warm-up. I was the only one who used a mat. The others seemed to float onto the bare floor. Already I felt awkward. I could not gracefully get my body down on the mat. My bum seemed to drop with a thud. I smiled in embarrassment. But no one was watching me. Everyone was doing their own thing, rolling shoulders, lifting chins, inhaling and exhaling. Helen clicked her CD remote player, and I heard the dulcet tones of Lorena McKennett's harp. Had Helen chosen the piece for me, a fellow Canadian? I thought so, knowing she was exceptionally selective. I appreciated her gesture and relaxed my spine into the thin yoga mat. I couldn't imagine how hard the floor must feel to the others. Their spines were supple, curling and stretching in ever greater arcs. At the end of the warm-up, I was exhausted, and the class hadn't even begun. "Did you recognize the Mummer's Dance and Marco Polo?" Helen asked, turning to me. "Yes, my mother has that CD." "Canadian Lorena McKennett," Helen said, directing her words to the class. "I downloaded the songs from iTunes for our visitor. Again, for Isadora, we are going to begin in small groups instead of individually. For some organized improvisation, make groups of three, please. Since Isadora is new to the class and has popped in mid-session, I think it would help to have a couple of more experienced movers with her." Donna and Craig volunteered to work with me. I put away my mat and joined them on the floor. "Right now, we're going to work on tension and relaxation through lift and suspend, opposing drop and rebound." Seeing my confusion, Craig demonstrated. "Tension," he said, curling his fists into his chest, then lifting them upwards and holding. "Relaxation," he said, dropping his arms to the floor, then lifting his torso, he curved his spine. "Rebound, you try," he said, standing upright. I mirrored his actions. "Good," Craig said. The music began. "Recognize the piece?" he asked. "Just stay in the middle. We'll move around you." They were a frenzy of activity. I had barely caught my breath and told my body to move when the tempo changed. Slowly, I started to imitate the pair when, once again, the piano started racing and swirling dervishes became a blur. But I knew the music would become calm again. That much I remembered about Wild and Lustig. The tempo went to extremes. The final notes were quick, but light, not crazed. "Breathe in," Craig coached. Inhaling, I expanded my chest to the final chords. "Still," Craig said. Exhaling, I stood with a heaving chest. "Now you are going to travel," Helen instructed. "At the end of your travel, you will join with the other group to make six. So when the music ends, I expect to see two groups of six on the floor. Don't rush into your groups. There is plenty of music. Time to explore the space and travel from place to place. Use all the floor. This is a journey. Let the music guide you. I want to see different levels. Take turns being the leader, but remember, do not talk. Do not give signals. The natural leaders will emerge."
I think I'd like to join that class. That sounds really interesting.
I hope you get the opportunity someday.
Well, many thanks for joining us today, Donna. Where can people purchase Isadora and Lucia?
It's an ebook on Kindle and Amazon.
And Amazon. Great. And if listeners would like to connect with Felicity and I, please send your comments, your queries, or suggestions of who we might interview in future programs to our email, wordonthehills897@gmail.com. And please visit our website, www.wordonthehills.com. There you'll find all our programs archived, and you can listen to them anytime and anywhere. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here, Sunday, 1 o'clock, Word on the Hills on Northumberland 897, Truly Local Radio.